It is a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day. To be able to come together to sing praises unto the Most High. As we think about all that God has done for us, sending his Son to the cross of Calvary in order for you and I to have a right to the tree of life. We should be ever so thankful that we have had that opportunity, and many of us have responded to his word. Let us never forget where we came from and where we're going.
Amen.
There is a place that has been prepared. And it has been prepared for those that are preparing.
Amen.
There are times in our lives where we have a tendency to pick and choose who we want to share the gospel with. And I believe that if some of us would look at our lives and think about that, that's going to be the wrong lesson. Think about what God has done for us, that we would know that we have not lived always how God desired us to.
Amen.
But somebody, at one time or another, took the time to talk to us about God's word. To tell us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Let us just think about that for a moment. Let us consider what it really means to believe. What it really means to put Christ on. And let us think about the condition we were in that very first time that someone spoke to us about God's word. The truth concerning God's word, not anything false, but the truth concerning God's word. What? How did we feel? What type of condition were we in? I believe that we can consider the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting with verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting with verse 9, when we think about the condition of the Corinthians, we could probably see ourselves in one of these states here. And if you were not one of these states, then you were doing good. But then even consider the state of Cornelius. Was that really good enough? Because some say, I've never in my life been an adulterer. I've never been an idolater. I've never been sexually immoral. I've never been a thief. I've never been greedy. I've never been a drunkard. I've never been a reviler. I've never been a swindler. I've never done any of those things. How about lying? Have you ever lied before? Ever cheated someone out of something before? I believe when you look at this list of sins that Paul writes unto the Corinthians about, he tells them that they were some of these things, and such were some of you, he says in verse 10, and such were some of you, or at verse 11, and such were some of you. All persons is the title of the lesson this morning, dealing with each and every individual that we come in contact with needs to hear God's word.
Amen.
They need to be given that opportunity to respond to the gospel as you and I have responded. Why? And as Paul continues to write to them there, he says, "And such were some of you, but you were washed and you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." That's why. When we meet people, when we talk to people, when we try to stress the importance to people about listening to God's word and responding in a fashion that he is pleased with, because someone did it to us. Are you thankful for that individual sharing God's word with you? Can you remember the name of that person that shared God's name with you? God's name with you. And it's really not important, or his word with you. That's really not important, but can you remember that? Because somebody somewhere is going to say that, hey, Brother DeMille, they're not going to call you brother because you didn't do what you were supposed to. You didn't talk to them about God's word. Or Brother Leroy. No, not Brother Leroy. It's just going to be, and there are some names that they're going to call. It's not going to be anything pleasing. That he thought he was better than I was. He thought that he was above me, so therefore he didn't talk to me about God's word. We need to consider what the scripture says and understand that God is not, he is not a respecter of persons. Jesus came to this earth. When he came to this earth, and I don't want to show you all that at one time, but y'all just open your Bibles and follow along with me. How about that? When Jesus first came to this earth, no one, the Bible tells us, nothing about him was going to attract men to him. Nothing. So you know what Jesus had to do? Jesus had to use what the Father gave him in order to persuade men to believe in him. That's what he had to do. But as he did that, Jesus did not, as we do today, say, hey, he looks like a good candidate in order for me to talk to him about the gospel. Oh, he's a smart man. Oh, look, he is very handsome, or she is very beautiful and very, very intelligent. Those are the ones that I want in order to help me share. No, that's not the type that Jesus was looking for. Now, did he find some smart people? Yes. Did he find those that were intelligent? Yes. Did he find those that were good looking? Yes. But you know, when we really think about those things, that is not what Jesus was looking at. Jesus was looking at the same thing, or looking at man the same way that God looks at man. Amen. Not the appearance, but the inward part of man. Now he is a diligent person in what he's doing. I believe that he can be beneficial to the kingdom. No, it wasn't really, I believe. Jesus was saying, I know he can be beneficial to the kingdom. What about us today? When we go out and we share God's word and we get ready to knock on someone's door and we say, no, I'm not going to go to that door right there because I don't like the way that house looks. Mm-hmm. Now we do that. And I'm going to tell you why we do it when we say we're not going to knock on that door. Because they have all this mail in the mailbox. They have five or six old phone books, and the grass is grown up and the windows are boarded up and there's no electrical meter on the house. And we skip those houses. But when you get to a house and the door is wide open and a man is sitting there with his back to you and you look at him, and then when he hears you on the porch, you turn around and a needle fall out his arm, we don't avoid that house. We go ahead and we knock that door and we go ahead and let them know why we're there. I'm talking to you this morning about not being a respecter of persons. A respecter of persons cannot be a Christian. You can't say, I'm not going to talk to him about God's word, because if you don't talk to him about God's word and the next man don't and the next man don't, that man will never become a Christian. Amen. So we need to take the time to talk to people about God's word in order for them to know what they need to do in order to be saved. John chapter 7 in the verses 24. John chapter 7 and the verse is 24. The Bible says, you know, we talk about judging people. There are men that will tell you quick, Don't judge me. You don't have a right to judge me. Only God can judge me. You know what? That person is right. It's just so much he's right. When he tells you that only God can judge him, God has given us. As members of the body of Christ, as being his children, he has given us the right to use a righteous judgment. But he tells us how to judge. That's what we need to understand, because many people judge in a fashion that they should not, but he tells us how to judge. In John chapter 7, in the verses 24, these are the words: do not judge by appearance, but judge with right judgment. Judgment, right judgment. I don't like the way he looks. I don't like the things in which he's doing. So therefore, what have you done? You have passed judgment on this person. That is not right judgment. It's not a righteous judgment. So we need to go back and we need to consider, what is a righteous judgment? Who needs to hear the gospel? Who did Jesus come to save? The sinner. I come to seek and to save those that are lost. I come to save my people from their sins. But we don't want anything to do with sinners. Why? Don't you know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God?
Yes.
Someone wanted something to do with you. They did not want you to be left out in the world. They wanted you to come in and to answer the gospel call. So let's consider, as we talk about a respected person cannot be a Christian, as we talk about these people here, let's think about what our mission is in evangelism. Let's think about that just for a moment. We are going to look at one scripture on this subject right here about evangelism, but I want you to understand the importance of it. When Jesus went out to choose his disciples, what type of men did he choose? Let's look in the book of Matthew chapter 4. Because everybody needs to be given a chance. Matthew chapter 4, starting with verse 18. As Jesus calls his first disciples, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They were busy out, you know, taking care of their livelihood. Fishing. They were fishermen, the Bible says. But Jesus says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And that there's no better occupation right there than to be a fisher of men. You don't have to worry about scaling them. You don't have to worry about filleting them. All you have to worry about is preparing them in order for that great day. That's the only thing you have to worry about. So you need to teach them God's word and give them the opportunity to respond to his word. As Jesus called these men could have rejected. They could have very well said, "We are busy. We don't have time for you." But that's not what they did. The Bible says this: immediately they left their nets and followed him. Immediately. Now, we don't have that type of response. Well, someone say, "Yeah, I'm willing to just deny all that I'm doing. I'm willing to give up what I'm doing. My family, I'm going to leave them behind, and I'm going to follow after Christ." Wouldn't that be great if everybody we talked to had that type of attitude? All people, as we look at this, all people, all persons that we come in contact with, again, sometimes we may look at them and say, "No, I don't want to talk to them about God's word. I don't like the way they look. I don't like the way they smell. I don't like the way they talk. I don't want anything to do with them." Do you think these men right here that were fishermen, you think they smelled good? You think when they got up that morning to go fishing, they put their best clothes on and some type of smelly sauce and put it on and say, "I'm going fishing"? Some people do that. When they get out there, they probably fall in the same boat I fall in. They don't never catch anything. Never catch anything. My wife always tells me, "I'm fishing for the wrong thing. I need to throw that rod and reel away or put it aside, and I need to continue to be a fisher of men. That's a great occupation. I want you to understand this as we talk about being fisher of men or being evangelistic, that our God is not firing anybody. He's not laying anybody off. But there's a lot of people that are quitting. They don't want to do the work that we've been called to do.
Amen.
They don't want to do it. But we need to understand all persons need to hear the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And then we look at their status. Their status in life. How high are they? What can they do for me? If I'm going to talk to them about God's word, what can they do for me? We have that type of attitude sometimes. But, you know, again, Jesus didn't have that attitude. He did not have that attitude. As he continued, the Bible says, in Matthew chapter 9, in verse 9, this is where a lot of us mess up. Now we're going to read verse 9, but we're going to go on and we're going to look at verse 10, because verse 10 is very important to what we're talking about right here. All people, all persons. As Jesus passed on from there and saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, he said to him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. Now look at verse 10. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. They there, tax collectors, sinners, were there reclining with Jesus. Now, do you think that Jesus was participating in these sinful acts that these men were participating in? You think he was, you know, talking about, let's see how much trouble we can get into as soon as we finish this meal? No. That's not what he was talking about. Jesus was trying to save these people. And I believe today when we ignore people just because they are sinners, we need to think about, again, that somebody somewhere did not ignore us. They took the time to talk to us about God's word. And I really appreciate the people that I run into when I go back home and they look at me and they say, you know, you're not the same Melvin. I am the same Melvin. My mama named me Melvin Spencer Jr. And therefore, actually, my daddy did. He said, I'm naming this one. Name me Melvin Spencer Jr. I'm the same Melvin Spencer Jr. I have not changed. They have not changed my name. The only thing that changed was my way of life.
Amen.
My way of life. My way of thinking, my way of speaking, those things have changed. But somebody took the time when I was a sinner to sit down with me and talk to me about God's word. We need to give people a chance. Let's not worry about them being a sinner and what others will say as we sit there and talk to them. As long as you're not participating in what they're doing, it is okay. Talk to them about God's word. Give them the opportunity to respond to the gospel as you and I have had that responsibility or that opportunity. And then we look at people. He's not like me. What do you mean he's not like me? He's from another land. Or he may be even from another neighborhood. I want to just talk about that just for a moment, because there are some neighborhoods that we don't want to go to. Why? You know, Brother Brown, I really do appreciate him. Brother Brown, as he makes the list of the different streets that we go and knock on in about a 5-mile radius, he don't leave any streets out. Don't leave any out. You know, we can very well come to him and say, Brother Brown, you know, we know what's going on over here. We don't want to go over there. You know what we need to do? We need to pray up. We need to pray up. You know, people tell us sometimes, you know, you need to man up. You need to do what you're supposed to. You need to handle your responsibility. No, we need to pray up. Why do we need to pray up? We need to pray up because God wants to use us, and he don't want to use us up, but he wants to use us in order that the kingdom may grow up. And as the kingdom grows up, we continue to talk to people about God's word, because there's somebody out there that is lost and they need to be found. There is somebody out there that's blind and they need to see. There's somebody out there and they're deaf and they need to hear. They need Jesus, and they need you and I to talk to them about God's word. In the book of John, chapter 4, and the verse is 9. What if every time we see seen someone that was different from us, we just walk right by them? They're there, and they need our assistance, but we just walk right by them. they're in sin, and they're so wrapped up in sin that they don't know how to get out of sin, and we just walk right by them. What if that happened? How many people do you think would give us the time of day if that's the way we treated them? When we tell them we love Jesus, we love God, we love His Word, but yet we don't talk to that man that's in sin. We don't talk to that woman that looks different from what we are. What if? What if? We don't want that to happen again. We want to look at the life of Jesus, and we want to do the things that Jesus did and talk to those people, not by how they look, by appearance. Not by those that we think, you know, oh, he's busy working and we don't need to bother him. Yeah, we need to bother him. We need to bother him to the point that he may say, yes, I have time for you today. I have time to listen to you about God's word. Yes, I see that you're talking to me and I'm a sinner. Yes, I really do appreciate that. But what about those, again, that look different than we look? John chapter 4 and the verse is 9. John chapter 4 and the verse is 9. We need to consider this, and we need to really think about what Jesus has done here. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. No, Jesus wasn't an ordinary Jew, was he? Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus understood what his mission was all about. He understood that his father was not a respectable person, so therefore he should not be a respectable person, or he could not be a respectable person. We, if we say that we're Christians and we're following God's way, we cannot be a respectable person. And when they use that terminology to us, as far as, I am this, I am that, why are you bothering me? Let's continue to bother them. A lady told us the other day, I'm a Muslim. I said, that's okay. You can still listen to the radio program. Why? What do people think this is? Just because they say that there's something that God has not ordained or God has not authorized, does it mean that we're just going to leave them alone? No. By no means. The only thing we can do is respect them by not offending them. But when it comes to God's word, we need to share it with them. And we need to get them to understand the importance of putting away those man-made religions, those separations away from God, or even saying that we're separated because we are this or we're that. The Bible says that the gospel was first given to who? The Jew and then the Gentile. Paul said he wasn't ashamed of it. So therefore, we can't be ashamed of it, and we need to continue to share it with other people in order for them to understand the importance of doing what is right. How would you like it if someone ignored you? How would you like it if no one ever shared God's word with you? You have something good to eat? Brother Brian, I know that now. Sorry, you're on the front row, brother. Glad I'm getting him next. I know how you like to eat, Brother Brian. I know how you like to take your little side things to the places with you and you put them on. How would you like it? If they stopped you at the door and they searched you and said, you can't bring that in here, how would you like that? You wouldn't like it at all, would you? What they done, somebody has already pointed you out. They know you're coming, so they've singled you out. You wouldn't like that. But that's the way we treat people, though. We single them out. And we, you know, we say, you know, you can't do that. You know, this is not for you. God is not that type of person. He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. He's a graceful God. He's a God of justice. He's a God of mercy. He's a God that is willing to give us salvation if we would only do what is right. In Psalm 103 and the verses 12. Psalm 103 and the verses 12. You know, we look at different things. We look at how people are treated. And we say to ourselves, why is that man, why is that woman, why is that child being treated like that? And the reason that it happens is because people do not realize that there is a loving God. A loving God. And he's willing to do something for us. We'll start with verse 11 and we're going to come to 12, Psalm 103. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, So far does he remove our transgressions from us. Now, how would you like it if God didn't love you? How would you like it if he would not remove your transgressions? How would you like that? Many of us, we wouldn't like it at all, because we understand, you know, when we look at God's word and we see what happened to those in the Old Testament when they sinned, how they was cast out of the city or how they were stoned to death. We see those things, and we don't want that to happen to us. We don't want to be shunned because we have committed some sin, but we want someone to show love to us and help us out of those things. As a Christian, we're supposed to do that to people. Go to them and talk to them about God's word. Galatians chapter 6 and the verses 1 tells us. You know, we say that we're so good that we're doing what God wants us to do. Let's take the time to talk to those people that are in sin so that their sins can be forgiven them. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Talking about things that we may like, or how would you like it if? Matthew chapter 18. Because again, we can't be a respecter of person. If you're doing right, you want to be encouraged to continue to do right. But when you're doing wrong, you don't want anybody to say anything to you about that. You got it all backwards. You have it all messed up. You have God confused with somebody else, because again, he is not a respecter of person. This book is written for all mankind. No matter who you are, no matter how you live, it is written for you and I. Matthew chapter 18, starting with verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he what? Listens to you, you have gained your brother. Oh, that's an easy one, isn't it? The only hard thing there is a lot of times we don't want to go to the person telling them about his fault. But he said, if you go to him and tell him his fault between you and him alone, if he listens to you, you know, that what that means is not just, I'm hearing what you're saying. That's not the attitude there. What it means is, as he has heard what you said, he's asking you to forgive him. He said, you've gained a brother. You've gained a brother. But let's continue to look at it. Let's continue to see what happens as we talk about this individual. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. Verse 17, that's the key verse right there. Verse 17, if he refused to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refused to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. How would you like it if someone came to you and they asked you, you know, hey brother, you did this against me, and I, you know, you need to ask me, you know, for my forgiveness. How would you like it if that person said, no, I'm not going to ask for your forgiveness? Or you may be the one that had someone, you know, the one that's going, or you may be the one that is being addressed. Two or three others come, one or two others come, and here they are, and he's explaining things to them, and you said, I don't even know why y'all bothering me. Get away from my house. But how would you like it if it was brought to the church? Now everybody know about what you've done. You could have solved it over here, but no, now everybody knows. How would you like it because now you're mad? So what you don't want to do is you don't want to get it right, and the church tell you, well, you're not welcome here anymore. How would you like that? How would you like that? I don't think any of us would like that. Matter of fact, you know, I've really never seen this exercise before, practice before. Hopefully the reason I haven't is because we've gotten it right, Brother Ron, and we've gone about our merry ways. We don't want it to come before the church. We don't want a whole lot of people to know what I did. We don't want that, so we get it right with God. But how would you like it if that happened to you? So we need to start looking at God's word and understanding what we need to do. Problems of being a respecter person. There is a problem with it now. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. There's a great problem with being a respecter person. And the problem is this. that we keep ourselves pleasing to God. The problem is this, that we will not be able to enter into heaven if we are a respected person. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Let us strive. So there's a lot that we can do, isn't it? In order to be pleasing to God. You know, we think about the days of Joshua. We think about how Joshua, you know, being the successor of Moses, how he led God's people. And how before Joshua died, he put a decree unto the people and told them, you know, you choose you this day whom you shall serve. You have a choice. And the people on that day said, oh, we're going to serve God. We're going to serve him until Joshua and the other elders of the city died out, and then they went back to those false gods. See, we need to understand, in order to be able to enter into rest, we need to be obedient. Not just say we're going to do it, but do it. Oh, I love God. I'm going to serve him. Only by your actions is it going to tell. You know, a lot of people say, you can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? See, we need to walk according to God's word, according to what God wants us to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. Are you afraid to tell people about their sins? Listen to what Paul says. As it is, I rejoice, not because you were grieved, but because you were grieved into repenting. For you felt a godly grief, so that you suffered no loss through us. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. Tell someone about their sin. Don't be embarrassed about it. Don't feel bad about it. Tell them about their sin so that they may repent. They may feel a certain way. You want them to feel a certain way. You don't want anyone to, you know, walk up to them and say, man, I know you're sinning. This is all good, isn't it? Oh, keep on doing it. No, you're sin. You're in sin. You need to quit doing those things. You need to put that bottle aside. You need to leave those women alone. You need to quit cursing. You need to quit stealing. You need to quit serving idols. Man, you're hard on me. You know why I'm hard on you? I'm hard on you because I want you to be saved in the end. That's what we need to tell people. But a lot of times we tiptoe around those things. My brother-in-law asked me many, many years ago before I knew any better. He said, hey, do you think it's a sin to drink? And he was trying to put me up, you know, or set me up, actually, because he wanted to come into my house and drink. I said, you're not going to sit around my house and get drunk. I'll let you have one beer. But today, he asked me that question. Man, you better go somewhere. You ain't drinking up in here. You're not even bringing it on my premises. Don't even think about that. See, that's the way people are. They want you to say that it's okay to do certain things. We can't tell them it's okay if God hasn't said it's okay. Amen. We need to tell them sin is sin. And they need to feel a certain way when we tell them that they should not be doing it. Not just in our home, but even in their home. They should not be doing it. You come home, you go over to someone's house, and you know, sometimes you get comfortable with people, and people get comfortable with you, and they say, oh, you want a glass of water? And you say, yes. They say, well, you know where the kitchen is. People won't tell you that. Why? Because they don't want you to go in their kitchen. They don't want you to open up their refrigerator. They don't want you to see what they have in there. I'm not ashamed of what I have in my refrigerator. It may be full, it may be empty. I'm not ashamed of it. But I bet you're not going to find anything in there that God is going to be offended by. We need to do what is right, and we need to act the way God wants us to act, and we do not need to be a respectable person. We need to tell people the truth concerning God's word and what they need to do in order to be obedient unto the gospel. No matter who you are, no matter what type of life you're living, if you're here today and you want to become a child of God, God wants you. Come, make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, be immersed in the watery grave, come out to walk a newness of life, and then go and tell your ex-friends, because you got to change your lifestyle. You got to change your friends. Tell them about God as well. Tell them about God as well. Maybe you're here and you're straight away from the fold. We want you to come back. We love you. We don't hate you. What we hate is sin. We want you to come back. We want you to be obedient unto God. As we stand and sing the invitation hymn, we ask you to please come.